A Message of Acceptance, Made Wonder, a bestseller, and soon a Hollywood movie. Now see why a local boy is doing his best to spread the exact same message tonight on WGN-TV Evening News at 4.
George Will joins us on the Super Celebrity Hotline, and he indeed qualifies.
Yes, he does.
And all right, now I guess we'll start with this. There's so many things that happened, George, today out of the Trump White House. It's a flurry. Some of them affect Chicago very directly. The sanctuary city thing specifically. We'll get to that in just a second. But let's start with he's saying he'd like a major investigation of this vote fraud situation. Is this a fool's errand, in your opinion?
Of course it is. Just think about this. To have 5 million, he says 3 to 5 million illegal votes cast in elections that are run mostly at the county level in our country would require a conspiracy of enormous complexity involving thousands of people coordinating this. So it's facially implausible. Second, this is a very inefficient way to win elections. Not that many states, again, we're talking about electoral votes, not that many states are that close usually. So the idea of tipping over a state with a few thousand votes here or there and marshaling 5 million across the country, I think would be a very grand idea to have a serious investigation of this and put this to rest at once and for all. When the presidential megaphone is used to disseminate one of these factoids for which there is zero, and I mean zero evidence, it really is a kind of exercise of public hygiene to clear it up.
So you think that they should do this? I just want to be
sure
clear about this. Yeah.
Respectfully. The president has thrown down a gauntlet. He said, this is the case. This is the truth. Well, let's test it.
Okay. But here's the point. In any of these things, I mean, you know, you've written about this and opined about this for two generations now, Mr. Will, and I hate to say that, but it is true because I've been reading you for that period of time, that these kinds of things, you know, people find their own truth in Washington. And so there's going to be a lot of money spent, and he'll find some nugget and hold on to it and claim it. I mean, he's using that same kind of all of the tricks that K Street taught these guys to prevaricate or to create. To find a slice of a fact and then just live on it, surf on it as long as you possibly can. I mean, that, I think, is what's going to happen. Would you agree?
But what he's saying strikes at the very legitimacy of our political regime, which is based on the consent of the governed, one person, one vote. Therefore, when we have great toxic doubt in the land, it behooves us to get a respected group of people to lay the conspiracy theories to rest. We did this after the Kennedy assassination. President Johnson instantly created the Warren Commission under the Chief Justice Earl Warren that did voluminous research and came up with a conclusion that I think has withstood the test of time.
But Donald Trump doesn't believe it because he thinks that Ted Cruz's dad was involved in it. Right. I mean, he's even that or the Barack Obama birth certificate or any of these other things that he seems to really get off on in an intellectual way, sir, on these kinds of notions.
The Kennedy assassination was a fact. It actually happened. And what we wanted to do was get to the causes of it. Now, what we're doing in this case is looking at a charge that is, as I say, it seems to me facially preposterous. But when it gets made by the most conspicuous political figure in the land, it has consequences, and it ought to be proven or disproven. And if it is decisively disproven, it might, I'm not confident of this, but it might inhibit him in the future.
Yeah, I'm not sure, because it seems like everything has to be a win for him, so I wonder how this ends. And I wonder how much resources are devoted toward it. But I also want to ask you, George, about something of local significance, the tweet from the president saying, you know, handle your crime problem in Chicago, or we're going to send in the feds. Unclear. It was very vague. We don't know. Does that mean the National Guard? Does it mean the DEA? Does it mean the ATF? We don't know any of those circumstances. All we know is the mayor is saying we're happy to work with the federal government to a certain extent, but we don't want an occupying force in our neighborhoods, right? It seems, I'm not sure where we're going to get here in terms of a middle ground.
I have to say this is an example of what happens when conservatism is missing at the national level. I mean, this is not, to put it mildly, a conservative suggestion to federalize a problem in certain distraught neighborhoods in Chicago. The West Side and the South Side have terrible problems. If federal resources, funding for more police, whatever use the FBI can be made, there is I have an FBI agent's son who deals with violent crimes, so there is some tangential federal role here, but it is not the business of the president or of the federal government generally to federalize local law enforcement.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Is conservatism dead, do you think, in at least the conservatism that you espouse and have written about? I mean, it's because to me, I talk to a lot of folks on Capitol Hill, a lot of Republicans on Capitol Hill, and they all seem scared. They operated under the playbook, many of which the pages were written by you. So now there's a whole new world on this, and the Republican has been elected, and even though they don't agree with his philosophy, they're afraid of his power. And that chills me.
Well, it should. Conservatism isn't dead, but it's in the intensive care unit at the moment because the lure of power, the magnetic appeal of power, is pulling some people away, like iron filings, pulling them away from their traditional commitments to the rule of law, small government. Let me give you one example. You now have conservatives saying the thing to do with the Obamacare mandate is to not enforce it. Well, I recall back in the distant past, meaning last year, when conservatives were incensed at the president refusing to enforce laws, the laws that is violating the clause in the Constitution that the president shall see that the laws are faithfully executed, refusing to do that by saying, I, as the unfettered executive, have vast discretion in enforcement. Now, a year later, here are Republicans saying, rather than have a rule of law solution to Obamacare, that is repealing lawfully the law that is the individual mandate, they say, well, let's do what Obama did and just pretend we needn't enforce it.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, a lot of people point to, there's a lot of hyperbole surrounding this, and people want to point to history. And one of the moments in history that they point to is Germany in the 1930s. But you can look at the history of written history of humanity, and you can see this in almost every empire in human history, where there is a moment where somebody comes in who is dynamic and doesn't play by the rules that sort of bifurcated system that most of the balance that most of these empires lived on. And now the interrupter comes in, and you see the people who, you know, he's ostensibly attached to start to fall away because they don't want to live by his rules, even though they are by name supporting him. I am very concerned that what happens in a situation like that, and this is what history tells us, is that then you start to get people that come in underneath who are there all about the anger, the power, and the getting even, and the retribution, and generally violence is their method for it. And that's the thing that concerns me. And I know that people were very concerned, as you were in 2008 into 2009, about what America was going to look like if we were going to have this lurch swing to the left. And now we're not really, it's not a lurch swing to the right. It's a lurch swing into some sort of almost irrational populism that it's ADD at its finest. It's mad at this, it's mad at that, and the two things aren't necessarily related philosophically.
You're using an excellent verb, lurch. A well-governed society doesn't lurch every 4 years or every 8 years. It proceeds in an orderly, meaning lawful, manner. So in this sense, both sides, both parties are guilty of situational ethics. What was wicked when you did it is opportune when we do it.
Yeah.
Do you feel like you're in a distinctive club by being called overrated by Donald Trump? You got one of those tweets, didn't you, George? I'm like, that means you're, wow, that's pretty serious.
Well, I consider the source, and I think I'll be brave.
Yeah. You're going to rise above that.
Right, well, I need someone to be brave right now because I'm not, so we got to get someone there. All right, George Will, it's a great pleasure talking to you. Thank you, sir.
Yes, it is.
Enjoyed it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, George.
Bye. All right.
He's awesome.